Greetings, friends. During the Great Tribulation, Satan will have his two witnesses, and God will have his two witnesses. Satan's two witnesses will testify to Satan's kingdom, proclaiming that it will bring peace and prosperity. But we know that it will bring death. God's two witnesses will testify to the fact that God's kingdom will indeed bring true peace and prosperity and will last forever because it will bring everlasting life. So let's see these two witnesses on both sides. In Revelation chapter 16 and verses 13 through 14, we hear a description about Satan's two witnesses. This is Revelation chapter 16 and verses 13 through 14. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So the first unclean spirit came out of the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan the devil, and then out of Satan's two witnesses, the beast and the false prophet. So these are the spirits of demons or devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle against God Almighty. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, we see a little bit more about this beast and false prophet, Satan's two witnesses. This is Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. It says, the beast, which is the Roman Empire, and if you don't know about that, please log on to our website and read the article entitled, Who or What is the Beast? Our website is www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or you can give us a call at 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Either way, you can ask us for this article or download it. It's free, and it will explain in depth who this beast is and who the false prophet is. Suffice it to say right now, that the beast, which is the Roman Empire, and this is a representation of the government of Satan, this beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. This false prophet is the Roman Catholic Church and her Protestant daughters, which represent the churches of Satan. So on the one hand, the beast represents the state, and then we have the false prophet, which represents the church. So there's a church and state, a civil government, and then an ecclesiastical government, both inspired by Satan. And it says that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and they were doing signs, right? This false prophet was doing signs before this beast, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And then in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, it says that the devil also was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet were. So we see Satan the devil and his two witnesses, the beast and the false prophet. And again, the beast represents the church, the government side, the law side, and then the false prophet represents the church or the spiritual side, the ecclesiastical side. And now in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 7, we hear a description of God's two witnesses. Now notice how they parallel Satan's two witnesses. And this is in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 7. It says, speaking of God, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days. This is during the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Notice the description, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Now, the pattern for that is found in Zechariah chapter 3, and chapter 4, that's the book of Zechariah in chapter 3 and chapter 4, where it talks about Joshua and Zerubbabel. Now Joshua represented the priesthood, and the priesthood, of course, did the ecclesiastical duties. They did the church duties. That's the spiritual side of it. And Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah, and He represents the government side, the state side, the law side. So Satan had the beast, which represented the government of Satan, and he had the false prophet, which represented the church of Satan. And God has his two witnesses, and it is Zerubbabel, who represents the government of God, and Joshua, that represents the church of God. Now it says about these two witnesses, if anyone attempts to hurt them, now notice another type of description, because it gives us another type of clue as to who these two witnesses are. It says, if anyone attempts to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. Now, who was able to call fire down from heaven, fire proceeding out of his mouth and then devouring his enemies? Who was able to do that? Well, it's the same person who was able to shut up heaven so that it didn't rain in the days of his prophesying. And that's the other part that it says in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 7, that these have authority to shut up heaven so that it doesn't rain in the days of their prophecy. Well, who was able to do that? That was Elijah. That's Elijah the prophet. So Elijah the prophet corresponds to the false prophet of Satan, but this is the prophet of God, Elijah. So he represents the church of God. And you can find these accounts in the first book of Kings, chapter 17 and chapter 18. That's the first book of Kings, chapter 17 and 18. Going back to Revelation 11, verses 3 through 7, it says, these two witnesses also have authority over waters to turn them to blood. Who was able to turn water to blood? Well, it's the same person who was able to strike the earth with every plague as often as he desired. Now, who was that? Of course, you know, that was Moses. Now, who was Moses? Moses was the lawgiver. He represented the leader of the nation of Israel. So he represented the government of God, the law side of it, the state side of it. So we have God's two witnesses, who are Elijah and Moses, representing the church and state, or Joshua and Zerubbabel, representing the church and state. Now, I'm not saying that the two witnesses will either be named Joshua or Zerubbabel or Elijah or Moses, or that these people will be resurrected and come back to physical life. No, I'm saying that two people will come in the same spirit, operating, doing the same type of work, preaching the same type of message that these people preach. Now, what is the message that the two witnesses of God actually preach? Well, we can find this in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 17 through 22. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 22. It says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. So again, we have Moses representing the law, or Zerubbabel representing the law. God says that you should not think that I have come, and this is Yeshua speaking, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets being Elijah or Joshua. I have not come to destroy them, but in order to fulfill what they teach. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth passes away, not one jot or one tittle shall in any way pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Therefore, now this is the message, therefore, whoever shall relax one of these commandments in the least bit, and shall teach men to relax these commandments, this person shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, which are the commandments that Yeshua HaMashiach is referring to? Okay, let's go on and read. It says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, you shall not kill. Now, what commandment is that? That's a commandment that's a part of the Ten Commandments, the law of God. So God has not come to destroy the law. He has not come to destroy the Ten Commandments. He has come in the form of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to fulfill them. In other words, to show people how to keep the law in its fullest sense. That's why it says that your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, we know that the scribes and Pharisees followed the Ten Commandments in the letter of the law, at least a lot of the time. But they did not follow the spirit of the law. In other words, they did not follow the law in love. Because truly, when you understand the keeping of the commandments, you understand that it is all about love. First, loving God, and secondarily, loving your neighbor as yourself. So it says, if we keep it in that spirit, not trying to minimize the law, but trying to maximize it, trying to fulfill it, not destroy it, but really bring out the fullness of it by keeping it in the letter and spirit of the law. If you do that, it says, then you shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So the law and the prophets, the law says, love God and love your neighbors as yourself. We can see that in the Ten Commandments, the first four showing us how to love God, and the last six showing us how to love our fellow man. And all of the prophets have testified to the fact that the law should be kept. In fact, the wages of sin is death, and death is a curse, and it says that the strength of sin is the law, meaning that the law defines for us what sin is. Without the law, we would not know what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. So all of the prophets have said, do not transgress the law, or else you will fall into punishment. If you keep the law in the letter and spirit of the law, then you will have the law written on your hearts and in your minds. That's what the new covenant is all about. That gives us the divine nature of God, which is love. We can see this further in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 36 through 40. This is Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. People came to Yeshua and said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Yeshua said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Exactly what I was saying. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 19 and read verses 16 through 22, you'll find a story about a rich young man who came to Yeshua and said, what can I do to have eternal life, to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And Yeshua responded by saying, you should keep the law. And he enumerated six of the commandments in the law. He talked about six of those commandments that had to do with loving his neighbor as himself. But the rich young man said, I've kept all of these. Then Yeshua said, okay, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. In other words, yeah, you might have kept the law in the letter, but you're not keeping it in the spirit. Why? Because when the rich young man heard that, he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to show love by giving what he had to the poor. And so my question to you is, will you listen to the testimony of God's two witnesses that teach us that we should fulfill all of the law and the prophets, or will you listen to Satan's two witnesses who will be teaching people contrary to God's law and his way of life? My sincere hope is that you will choose life.